الحمد لله الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات أولئك هم خير البرية جزاؤهم عند ربهم جنات عدن تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها أبدا رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه ذلك لمن خشي ربه وقال عز وجل إنما يخشى الله من عباده العلماء وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم خيركم من تعلم القرآن وعلمه أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. Respected علماء, honorable elders, brothers in Islam, and my young friends, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Our respected Imam Hafidhahullah recited a surah from the glorious Quran whilst leading the Maghrib Salah. This surah concludes with the two verses that were recited in the khutbah by myself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna alladhina amanu wa amilu salihat. Indeed, those people who accept Iman, those people who become believers, those people who enter the fold of Iman, those people who become mu'mineen, وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, and those people who carry out good deeds, who perform good deeds. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ خَيْرُ الْبَرِيَّةِ. These are the best people in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِيمَانًا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ أَعْمَالِ صَالِحَةً What is Iman and what are A'mali Saliha? Iman is to believe without a shadow of doubt in everything that was conveyed to the Ummah by the final messenger of Allah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Innamal mu'minuna alladhina amanu billahi wa rasulihi thumma lam yartabu. Only those people deserve to be called mu'mineen. Only those people deserve the title of Al-Mu'minun. Only those people should be called believers who believe in Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who believe in everything that was revealed by Allah to His final messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and what was revealed to him the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam conveyed it to the Ummah. So these people believe in Allah, His Messenger, and everything that was conveyed to them through the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا Thereafter they have no doubt whatsoever. So Iman is to believe in everything that comes to us through authentic sources, and it is attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam without any doubt. The Quran was passed on to the Ummah through a chain. Right from the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam until today, during every era, there have always been thousands of people who had memorized the Quran. You will find millions of huffaz throughout the world. And this is a great miracle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafizun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it is I who have revealed the Quran, and it is I who will safeguard the Quran until the day of Qiyamah. Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra, I have revealed the Quran. It is my book, it is my word, and I will safeguard it until the day of Qiyamah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen the Huffaz to safeguard and preserve His word. And it is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who instills the desire to memorize this whole book into the hearts of these children. It is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who instills this desire into the hearts of these children who are eager to memorize this book. And it is a miracle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is a miracle of the glorious Quran, that majority of the people who memorize the Quran are those who do not understand a single sentence of the Quran. It is very difficult to memorize something that you are unable to understand. fact, it is very difficult to read something which you are unable to understand. Try to attempt to learn to read a language only. Only read without understanding. Try to attempt to learn to read how, read the French language without understanding French. Without understanding Gujarati, try to learn to read Gujarati. Without understanding the English language, try to learn to read English. Without being able to understand the Urdu language, try to read Urdu language only. It is impossible. It is impossible to learn to read a language without understanding that language. But this is the miracle of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that non-Arab children who are unable to understand a single sentence of the Quran are able to learn how to read the Quran, and if they exert a little bit more effort and learn tajweed also, you will not be able to differentiate between the recitation of an Arab and a non-Arab. So being able to read the Quran without understanding, that is a miracle in itself. And thereafter to be able to memorize the whole book. And not only a few remote incidents, there are dozens. When you hear that somebody is going to complete the glorious Quran today, nobody finds it strange. Or nobody finds it surprising. That glorious Quran, the whole book. Because this happens on a daily basis. In each masjid you find dozens of huffaz. It is something that the ummah has become used to. Because every day you hear that somebody is completing the Quran, somebody is completing the Quran, he is Hafiz. And after memorizing these more than 6,000 verses, to keep it to memory until you breathe your last, that is also a miracle. When we prepare for examinations, we memorize so many things, we learn so many things. But we find it difficult to learn passages of our textbook word by word. We find it very difficult. We exert effort, but we are unable to memorize passages from our textbooks word by word. Very difficult. And once the exam is over, after 24 hours, ask him how much he remembers from what he had memorized. Here people memorize more than 6,000 verses, and they are able to keep it to memory until they depart from this world. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it is I who has revealed this book. And in order for people to believe in this claim of mine, that it is I who have revealed this book and it is my book, it is my word, the proof is that I will preserve it till the day of Qiyamah. If it was not my book, then who is preserving this book? Who is preserving this book? Who is granting these young children who have grown up in this country, and who know that they will have to give much in order to memorize the Quran? In places like Leicester, I am not aware of the Makatib culture in London, but in places like London, if you are not in a Hifz class, then you go to the madrasa at 5 and 7, 7:15 you are back home. But if you take admission in a Hifz class, then you go to the madrasa at 4:45, and you don't come back until after Isha. So this child at the age of 10, at the age of 8, at the age of 11, when it decides to take admission into the Hifz, this child knows that it will have to give more than what the other children are giving. It will have to give a lot of sacrifices. And after taking admission into the HIFS class, it is not a matter of 1 month or a few months. It takes 3 years to 4 years. 3 years, 4 years. This child continues. Who is granting this child this zeal, this desire, this want that no, whatever happens, come what may, I want to complete this Quran. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is granting this desire to our children in order to fulfill His promise of preserving and safeguarding this book until the day of Qiyamah. So the Quran has been passed down to the Ummah generation by generation. It is a chain which no one can reject. The non-Muslims dispute the authorship of the Quran. Who is the author of the Quran? Is it Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, or is it Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? They dispute this fact. They say it is not the word of God. It is a book prepared by Muhammad. It is a book authored by Muhammad. Yes, this is a fact where dispute arises. But when it comes to the Quran being preserved as it was in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam till today, not a single soul disputes. Not a single soul disputes. Each and every person is of the opinion and unanimously accept, Muslim, non-Muslim, friend, foe, everyone agrees that this is the same Quran that was left behind by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he departed from this world. They cannot dispute, because there have been thousands, hundreds of thousands of people who have put this Quran to memory throughout ages. So Quran-e-Majid is authentic. And thereafter you have the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam have also been passed down generation by generation through a chain of narrators. A hadith is not accepted without a chain of narration in the academic field. The scholars will not accept any hadith without a chain of narration. You quote a hadith, where is this hadith? It is in Bukhari, it is in Muslim, it is in Tirmidhi, it is in Baihaqi, it is in Darami, it is in Ibn Majah. Where is this hadith? Where is the chain of this narration? Today, my friends, till today, in the madaris, the ahadis are taught by the teachers, and right from the first hadith until the last hadith, each and every hadith is recited to the teacher, and the teacher sits with his book, he very carefully listens to the words being recited by the students, and he tallies these words with what is written in his book, and this is the book in which he has studied from his teacher, and he had made corrections whilst he was studying. Each and every hadith is recited by either the student or by the teacher. When the teacher is reciting, then the students listen very carefully and they make changes if there are any errors in print. And when one student is reciting, all the other students are listening, and the ustad is listening very carefully, and wherever he makes an error of zabar, error of zair, fatha, kasra, dhamma, sukoon, the ustad will rectify his mistake. Right from the first letter to the last letter, the whole of Bukhari Sharif is recited. In one year, the final year students in the madaris listen to approximately 40,000 ahadith. 40,000 ahadith they read from Shawwal until Shaban in 10 months. And they listen because the ahadith are being preserved. Their teacher had gone through a similar training from his teacher, and same until Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, and from Imam Bukhari until the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. Every alim, every scholar will be able to say regarding each and every hadith of Bukhari, each and every hadith of Muslim, each and every Tirmizi of each and every hadith of Tirmizi, each and every hadith of Abu Dawud, that I narrate this particular hadith through a chain of narrators which reaches the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has preserved the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why? Because Allah has taken it upon himself that I have sent the Quran and I will preserve the Quran. I will preserve the words of the Quran and I will also preserve the meaning of the Quran. And ahadith is the first commentary of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the scribes is preserving the method of writing. There are certain places in the Quran, if you look at all the masahif, then where you have a choice of writing a particular word in two forms, when it comes to Quran, no, it will be written just as the way it was written in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There are scribes who check the Quran, rasmul khat of the Quran. It will stay in the same manner. If you take the second choice, the pronunciation will be the same. The reader will read it in the same manner. There is no difference. It's like capital letters and single letters in the English language. It will be the same pronunciation. But no, there are scribes who make sure that the method of writing does not change. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen the huffaz who make sure that the words don't change. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen the qurra who make sure that the pronunciation don't change. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen the ulama who make sure that the meaning don't change. Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafizun. Thousands of scribes, thousands of huffaz, thousands of qurra, and thousands of ulama have existed, exist, and inshallah will exist till the day of Qiyamah. So the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Quran, these are the sources of ilm. Quran was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which he has conveyed to the Ummah as it was revealed to him. And thereafter the Ahadith, which is the commentary of the Quran, was revealed to him, which he has conveyed to the Ummah in his words. So he was inspired the commentary, but he was given the choice to put that commentary in front of the Ummah in his own words. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was supervising the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was protecting the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So there is no possibility that he was given the choice to put the commentary in his words and he may have made a mistake. No. Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu ta'ala anhu is a sahabi of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam who used to write the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says, the collection of ahadith that I have, no other sahabi has except for Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As. He has a more larger collection of ahadith than I have. Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu used to say. Why? Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says, لِأَنَّهُ كَانَ يَكْتُبْ وَلَا أَكْتُبْ. Because he used to write and I used to memorize only. So he used to memorize and write also, and I used to memorize only. So the number of ahadith that he has collected is more than the number of ahadith that I have collected. So in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam were being preserved in writing as well as through memory. So Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was very keen to record each and everything that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say. So some of his friends said, "Oh Abdullah, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a human, and a human is sometimes overcome with emotions. Sometimes a person may be very happy, sometimes under stress, sometimes in grief." And sometimes in anger. And when a person is overcome with grief, with happiness, with anger, then sometimes he is unable to choose the right word to express himself. Sometimes he may exaggerate. So Abdullah, this method of yours we do not agree with. That you listen to anything that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam is saying, whether he is on the minbar or whether he is sitting with us in an informal majlis gathering, you write down everything. You should not write down everything. You should only write down those things which are said by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a serious and a formal manner. Because you may convey something to the ummah which you should not be conveying. Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu ta'ala anhu came into the company of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said, "O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whatever you say, I write down, because I want to preserve each and every word of yours. But some of my friends are advising me not to do so. They are saying that you should not write down everything, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is also Bashar. He is the best of the Bashar, best of the humans, but he is Bashar. And sometimes Bashar becomes angry, and in anger he may say something which he did not mean, and you might write down. Sometimes he may become very, very happy, and in that moment of excitement he may say something which he did not mean. So don't write down everything." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, when he heard Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu ta'ala on whose query, he said, "O Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, ya Abdullah uktub, you continue to write as you have been doing so until now. Write down everything, because I am supervised by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever I say is authority. Whatever I say is rule, it is law, it is principle. Inni la akulu illa haqqa. Only haq emanates from this tongue. In any condition, whether I am happy, whether I am angry, whether I am tired, whether I am sleepy, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala controls my tongue, and only haq emanates from this tongue." So Quran was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, which he conveyed to the ummah as it was revealed to him through Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. Each and every word. This same Quran is in the heart of Jibreel. This same Quran is on the first heaven in a place called Baytul Izzah. And this same Quran is in Lawh-e-Mahfuz. So Lawh-e-Mahfuz is also Hafiz of the Quran. Before it was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, first the whole Quran was recorded in Lawh-e-Mahfuz. So Lawh-e-Mahfuz is the first Hafiz of the Quran. And thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed the angels to record the same Quran on the first heaven. Lawh-e-Mahfuz is on the seventh heaven. On the first heaven, which is known as Baytul Izzah. So Baytul Izzah is the second Hafiz. And thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed Jibreel to learn from Baytul Izzah. And from Baytul Izzah he should bring it to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Jibreel is the third Hafiz. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is the fourth Hafiz. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that word by word I have revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam this Quran. And the commentary, revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was inspired the commentary, and thereafter he was left to explain that commentary in his own words. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was controlling his tongue and making sure that he speaks what he needs to speak. He explains the way he should explain it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has preserved it in such a way that Allah says, لَا يَأْتِيهِ الْبَاطِلُ مِنْ بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ وَلَا مِنْ خَلْفِهِ. This book is such that batil, falsehood, cannot come near this book, neither from the front, neither from behind. That means batil cannot come from any direction. When Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam used to come with revelation to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam from Baytul Izzah, there was a possibility that shayateen may come in between Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. So when Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam used to move from Baytul Izzah with the portion of revelation that he was supposed to reveal to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then thousands of malaika used to protect Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. To understand it easy, in an easy way, you can say that from Baytul Izzah to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, there were so many angels that it was like a tunnel for Jibreel. The angels used to form a tunnel, and Jibreel used to come from Baytul Izzah direct to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam without any possibility of any interference from any shaitan. This is how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected this Quran. And when the Quran was recited to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, fearing that he may forget the correct words of the Quran, whilst listening to the words of the Quran, he used to recite the verse that he has already heard Jibreel recite. So he used to find it very, very difficult. كَانَ يُعَالِجُ مِنَ التَّنْزِيلِ شِدَّةً. He used to go through a lot of stress, lot of tension. Why? Because he is listening to Jibreel and at the same time he is trying to memorize what he has already heard. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to move his lips and mouth. So if Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came and he said, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's attention is towards Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. He is listening to Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. But at the same time he is reciting Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And when Jibreel is reciting Maliki Yawmiddin, he is reciting Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. When he is to recite Iyaka Na'budu Wa Iyaka Nasta'in, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim Maliki Yawmiddin Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. In case he may forget, he used to fear. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, seeing this difficulty of his beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came with these verses, La tuharrik bihi lisanaka lita'jala bih. Do not move your lips and your mouth. Do not move your lips. Do not move your tongue. Do not move your jaws. Sit, relax. All you have to do is listen to what Jibreel is saying. Don't worry about it. Because when it comes to memorizing the Quran, that it is not your responsibility to memorize it, it is my responsibility to record it in your heart. La tuharrik bihi lisanaka litajila bihi. Why are you worried? Why are you worried? Why do you get worried when Jibreel comes to you, and why do you go through so much effort? I'm not asking you to memorize the Quran. It is my responsibility. Inna alina jam'ahu wa Qur'ana. It is my responsibility to record the Quran in your heart, and thereafter it is my responsibility to make sure that you recite the Quran correctly with tajweed without learning a single rule of tajweed. Inna alina jam'ahu wa Qur'ana. Fa'idha qara'nahu fattabi' Qur'ana. When Jibreel comes with our message and when he is reciting, all you do is relax and listen to what Jibreel is reciting. فَإِذَا قَرَانَهُ فَاتَّبِعْ قُرْآنَ ثُمَّ إِنَّ عَلَيْنَا بَيَانَ. Not only is it our responsibility to record the words of the Quran, it is not our responsibility only to make you recite the words of the Quran correctly. Summa inna alayna bayana. It is also our responsibility to inspire you with the tafsir of the Quran so you can explain the Quran to the Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi Ta'ala. So this Quran has been passed generation to generation. And the ahadith have also been passed generation by generation through chain of narrations. And the scribes are making sure that the writing is correct. The huffaz are making sure that the words are correct. The qurra are making sure that the pronunciation is correct. And the ulama are making sure that the commentary is correct. So anything that reaches us through this authentic source, and the Muslims have never sat down together to discuss how shall we preserve the writing of the Quran. How shall we preserve the words of the Quran? There has never been a conference. No conference in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the time of the Sahaba. This whole organization is being controlled by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. He knows how many huffaz are needed. So he will choose 10 people from Leytonstone, 10 people from Leicester, 10 people from China, 10 people from Pakistan. He knows how many people are needed. He knows that in this locality, 2 huffaz have passed away, so we need another 2. It is he who is controlling. It is he who is controlling Qurra. It is he who is encouraging the Qurra that you should become Qari. You should also become Qari. You should also become Qari. And the desire that people find in their heart, it is such a burning desire that nothing will stop them. Nothing will stop them. Nothing will stop them from becoming Hafiz. Nothing will stop them from becoming Qari. Why? How can anything stop them when they are instructed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? When they have been chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to preserve this book? So anything that reaches us through authentic ulama and it is attributed to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, to believe in it without a shadow of doubt is iman. Is iman. And what is amal salih? What are amal saliha? Amal saliha is the plural of amal salih. What is amal salih? What are amal saliha? Amal saliha or amal salih is to carry out the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the light of the teachings of His beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands perform Fajr Salah. So we perform Fajr Salah. How do we perform Fajr Salah? According to our whims and desires? No. According to the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fajr has 2 sunnah and 2 fard. So if somebody comes to the masjid and he thinks to himself that I am more pious than the others and I want to make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more happy than the others, so everybody is performing 4 rakat of Fajr, I want to perform 8 rakat of Fajr. This is not amal salih. Amal salih is to carry out every amal according to the way shown by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. When people accept iman without any shadow of doubt, and thereafter they perform good deeds. They perform good deeds means in every aspect of their lives they understand the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they carry out this command according to the way shown by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Iman and amal salih. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ula'ika hum khayrul bariyah. These are the best of the creation. From the creation, these are the best people. These are the best people. And what is going to be their reward? ذَلِكَ جَزَاؤُهُمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ جَنَّاتُ عَدْنٍ. Their reward is everlasting paradise. Their reward in the court of their Rabb, in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is Jannat. Everlasting paradise. تجري من تحتها الأنهار, under which rivers will be flowing. مثل الجنة التي وعد المتقون فيها أنهار من ماء غير آسن. Rivers of water will be flowing. فيها أنهار من ماء غير آسن. But this water will be so pure that it will never become filthy. The color will never change, the taste will never change, the smell will never change. فيها أنهار من ماء غير آسن وأنهار من لبن لم يتغير طعمه. And rivers of milk will be flowing in Jannah. Rivers of water which will never become filthy. Rivers of milk, the taste of which will never change. It will never become foul, the taste. وأنهار من لبن لم يتغير طعمه وأنهار من خمر لذة للشاربين. And rivers of wine will be flowing. وأنهار من خمر لذة للشاربين. And this wine will be very, very tasty for those people who will drink. لا يصدعون عنها ولا ينزفون. Allahu Akbar. The wine of Jannah will be such that the people will drink excessively, but they will never feel dizzy, nor will they have a headache. من خمر اللذة للشاربين وأنهار من عسل مصفى. And rivers of pure honey will be flowing. وأنهار من عسل مصفى. مثل الجنة التي وعد المتقون فيها أنهار من ماء غير آسن. Allahu Akbar. Rivers of water, rivers of milk, rivers of wine, rivers of honey. جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها أبدا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that these people who accept Iman without a shadow of doubt and thereafter in every aspect of their lives, they follow the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala according to the way shown by our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, these are the best people. And because they are the best people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant them gardens of paradise. Gardens in paradise under which rivers of water, rivers of milk, rivers of wine, rivers of honey will be flowing. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا. And these people will remain in it forever and ever. These people will remain in it forever and ever. My young friends, my Muslim brothers, pay heed to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. لَا يَغُرَّنَّكَ تَقَلُّبُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فِي الْبِلَادِ مَتَاعٌ قَلِيلٌ ثُمَّ مَأْوَاهُمْ جَهَنَّمْ وَبِيسَ الْمِهَادِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, let not the enjoyments of those who transgress against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deceive you. The people who transgress against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the people who reject Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the people who disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you see them in their superficial enjoyments, do not let this superficial enjoyment deceive you. لا يغرنك تقلب الذين كفروا في البلاد. Why? متاعٌ قليل. متاعٌ قليل, this enjoyment is very temporary and for a very short time. قليل. متاعٌ قليل. Very short time. Very, very short time. متاعٌ قليل. ثم مأواهم جهنم. Then after this superficial enjoyment, their abode will be the fire of Jahannam. وبئس المهاد, which is a very, very rough abode. لكن الذين اتقوا ربهم, but those people who fear their Rabb, those people who create a veil between themselves and the displeasure of their Rabb, those people who exert effort, those people who give that little bit of sacrifice and they say, no, I cannot gaze here and there because my Allah will become unhappy with me. Let me control my gaze. I cannot look at a non-mahram lady. My Allah will become unhappy with me. Those people who control their desires, when they see drugs, when they see girls, they control their desires. When they hear music, they control their desires. When they see films, they control their desires. When they see wine, alcohol, they control their desires. Those people who control their desires, and who understand that this is only a superficial enjoyment, temporary enjoyment for a very short period of time. Thereafter the consequence is very, very evil, very, very grave. To burn in the fire of Jahannam will be very, very dangerous for me. لَكِنِ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْ رَبَّهُمْ, they control their desires. لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٌ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ. Allahu Akbar. لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٌ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ. لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٌ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ. For them are gardens of paradise under which rivers will be flowing. نُزُلًا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. They will be the guests and Allah will be their host. نُزُلًا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. They will be the guests and Allah will be the host. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ. Those people who say, our Rabb is Allah. Iman. Firm Iman. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ. Our Rabb is Iman. Our Rabb is Allah. Our Rabb is Allah. Who is Allah? Our Rabb. Our Rabb, the one who has cherished us. Rabb, the cherisher. Rabb cannot be translated into any English, into any language. Rabbun Allah, our Rabb is Allah, our cherisher is Allah. What is the meaning of Rabb? Rabb is that being who nurtures you, who looks after you, who fulfills all your needs in order for you to reach the highest peak of success. Allah is the one who is nurturing us, He is cherishing us, He is looking after us, He is fulfilling all our needs in order for us to reach the highest peak of our success. Physical success, spiritual success, moral success, mental success, every success. Success of this world, success of the hereafter. So those people who accept that Allah is the one who is giving me everything. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ. Our Rabb is Allah. If Allah is our Rabb, how can we disobey Him? So ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. They remain firm. Their belief is firm and their amal saleh is firm. Istiqamat. ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. And they give every sacrifice. Every sacrifice. I cannot commit this sin. Adultery, fornication may make me happy for a few moments. The enjoyment of adultery and fornication may make me happy for half an hour, 1 hour, 2 hours, but it will make my Creator unhappy. How can I do that? No, I can't do that. I am a fool if I fall into adultery and fornication. There is no greater fool than me, because I am buying enjoyment of 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours in return of the everlasting enjoyments of the hereafter. Allahu Akbar. There is no one who is more fool than me. And if I do it the other way, that if I give this sacrifice and push away this sort of adultery, fornication, and if I say, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyi al-azim, and if I move myself away from this evil environment and go into good environment which will protect me from this evil thought, then I am sacrificing enjoyment of 1 hour in return of the everlasting enjoyments of the hereafter. There is no one more intelligent than me. There is no one more clever than me. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. This worldly life, give a little bit of sacrifice, my friends. What will happen? When that everlasting life begins at the time of death, Allah says, تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. Allahu Akbar. تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ. Just imagine, my friends. We are on our deathbed, we are breathing our last, and shaitan is exerting every effort to snatch away the greatest gift that Allah has given us, Iman. Greatest gift that Allah has given us, Iman. Shaitan is exerting every effort to take that Iman away. Take that Iman away. Why? Because he wishes, he desires that we burn in the fire of hell with him forever and ever. So he wishes that during these final moments, half an hour, 15 minutes, he orders all his army, concentrate on this person. Concentrate. This person is still going to live for 5 more years. This person is going. Concentrate on this person. At that moment, my friends, Allahu Akbar. At that moment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends an army of malaika. تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَ. Angels descend upon this person who is dying, who is breathing his last. He knows that my mother cannot help me today, my father cannot help, doctor cannot help. Nobody can help me against shaitan. It is me and shaitan. It is me against shaitan today. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send an army of angels. Army of angels. He will see the nusrat of Allah descending. And these angels will come and they will speak to him and they will say, why are you worried? You are not alone. Allah takhafu wa la tahzanu. Do not fear, do not grieve. Allah takhafu wa la tahzanu. وَابْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوَعَدُونَ. We have come to give you glad tidings of that Jannah which you are being promised over and over again. The ulama used to convey to you the message of Allah and His Rasul. The du'at, the da'is, the muballigin, the preachers, the wa'izin, They used to tell you that, look, keep away from disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Follow the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will grant you Jannah. Allah will grant you Jannah. So these angels will come and they will say, don't worry, don't fear, don't grieve. We are with you. You are leaving everything behind. Don't worry, we are with you. We will protect you from shaitan. And become happy. Become happy. وَابْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّذِي كُنْتُمْ تُوَعَدُونَ. That Jannah which was being promised to you over and over again, and for which you were striving throughout your life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you glad tidings of that Jannah. And according to some narrations, in order to distract him away from shaitan, in order to distract his mind away from the pangs of death, from the agony of death, in order to distract his attention away from the fear of the final moments, in some narrations we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open all the veils that lie between him and Jannah. And the angels will say, وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوْعَدُونَ. That Jannah which you are promised over and over again, there it is waiting for you in front of you. Like a child which is very, very hungry, or like a child which is in lot of fear, lot of fever and pain, in order to distract the mind of that child, you give that child some kind of toy, and as soon as that toy goes in the hand of the child forgets everything. So the environment will be the same, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in order to distract the mind of this person who is in a lot of pain and agony, will put the Jannah in front of him, and he will say, the angels will say, وَابْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوَعَدُونَ. And the angels will say, نَحْنُ أَوْلِيَاؤُكُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ. We are your friends in this world and we are your friends in the Akhirah. Now you are not alone. We are with you now. We will be with you in the grave. We will rise with you on the day of Qiyamah. We will walk with you in the field of Mahshar. We will stand with you in the court of Allah. We will walk with you on the Pul Sirat, and we will enter Jannah with you forever and ever. نَحْنُ أَوْلِيَاؤُكُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِي أَنفُسُكُمْ وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَدَّعُونَ. For you in Jannah will be those favors which your hearts will desire, and for you in Jannah will be those favors which you will ask for. The commentators of the Quran have mentioned that the mu'minin who will be granted entry into Jannah will be of two categories. The higher category, number one, very, very pious people. Those who used to carry out all the faraid, all the wajibat, those who used to stay away from every haram and every makruhe tahrimi. And also they used to perform optional prayers. They used to carry out many optional deeds. They used to abstain from makruhe tanzihi also. They were very particular about sunnats, very particular about mustahabbat. This is the highest category. And the second category, those people who are very, very particular about faraid, about wajibat, about sunan-e muakkada, and they were very, very particular about haram and about makruh-e tahrimi. But regarding makruh-e tanzihi, they were not very particular because it does not bring any sin. And they were not very particular about mustahabbat or optional prayers. But because they were very, very careful in regard to not sinning, so these two categories will go in Jannah. Regarding the first category, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِي أَنفُسُكُمْ. For you in Jannah will be all those favors which your hearts will desire. You will not even have to speak, because you are of the higher category. Desire and the ni'mat is there. Desire and the ni'mat is there. The muhaddisin and the mufassirin have quoted ahadith in their tafasir that a person will be reclining on his couch, and whilst reclining on his couch, he will get the thought that I wish I was able to eat kebabs of pigeon meat. Just the thought will enter his mind, and he will see pigeons coming flying towards him, and pigeons slaughtered in the air in front of him, and pigeons being cleaned in front of him, and then mince being made in front of him, and very soon, within seconds, he will have hot, very fresh kebabs in front of him. وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِي أَنفُسُكُمْ وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَدْعُونَ. And the second category, because they are of a lower category, only desiring will not be enough. They will have to request. They will have to say, can I have something? Can I have some kebabs? And as soon as he will speak, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant it to them. So my friends, لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٌ تَجْرِي مِن تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا. These are the ni'mats which we should be targeting. We have either of two choices. Either we enjoy ourselves in this world and give away Jannah to Allah. And we say to Allah that, oh Allah, I don't want anything in the hereafter. We may not say it verbally, but practically this is what we are doing. If we are sinning, if we are listening to music, if we are listening to films, if we are not performing salat regularly, if we are disobeying our parents, if we are consuming drugs, if we are consuming alcohol, if we are gambling, then although we are not saying it with our tongues, practically we are saying, oh Allah, I am interested in the temporary enjoyments of this world, not the hereafter. This is one choice we have. But we give away Jannah to Allah and we say we are happy with what we... Or we sacrifice the worldly unlawful pleasures. I'm not saying worldly pleasures. Unlawful pleasures of this world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us so many lawful pleasures also. Unlawful pleasures, sacrifice them and acquire the everlasting Jannah of the hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that those people who accept Iman and thereafter perform good deeds, they are the best of the creation. Their reward will be gardens in paradise under which rivers will be flowing and they will remain in it forever and ever. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Those people who accept Iman, وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, perform good deeds, لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٌ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ. For them will be gardens of paradise under which rivers will be flowing. ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْكَبِيرُ. This is a big success. This is the big success. This is what you should be targeting for. ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ خَشِيَ رَبَّهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant this to those people who fear their Rabb, who fear the displeasure of their Rabb. So here in these two verses, we learn two things. We learn two things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant these jannats, these gardens of paradise, these favors to whom? Those people who accept Iman and those people who perform good deeds. And at the end of the surah, Allah says that these ni'mats are for those people who fear their Rabb. So is it for those people who accept Iman and who perform good deeds? Or is it for those people who fear their Rabb? Is there a contradiction? That Allah says at the beginning, that إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Those people who accept Iman and perform good deeds, their reward is Jannat. But at the end Allah says, Jannat is for those people who fear their Rabb. So is Jannat for those people who accept Iman and perform good deeds? Or is Jannat for those people who fear their Rabb? Who is Jannat for? Who is Jannat for? Friends, in order to accept Iman and thereafter perform good deeds, one has to have the khashiyat of Rabb. One has to fear Rabb. And in order to fear Rabb, one has to have ilm. إِنَّمَا يَخْشَ اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاء. So ilm, after ilm, khashiyat. Khashiyat will bring you to Iman and Amal Saleh. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that those people who have ilm, through this ilm, khashiyat will come. إِنَّمَا يَخْشَ اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاء. So this jannat is for those people who have khashiyat. Why? Because this khashiyat, it is this khashiyat that brings a person to Iman and Amal Saleh. So one who has ilm, after ilm, he will get khashiyat through the ilm. And through khashiyat, this fear of Allah, he will be able to accept Iman and also perform good deeds. It is for such people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created Jannah, created ni'mats. So now, to recap, what we require is number one, ilm. Ilm, acquire ilm. Ilm through authentic, reliable sources. Number two, after acquiring ilm, spend time in the company of pious people and listen about the greatness of Allah. Listen about Jannah, listen about Jahannam, and bring khashiyat in your heart. Once ilm and khashiyat is there, Then number three, amal salih will come. And when these three things come together, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make you ulaika hum khayrul bariyya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make you the best of the creation. It is for this reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that the one who has iman and amal is ulaika hum khayrul bariyya, best of the creation. And the one who has ilm, خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمُهُ, he is also the best of the creation. So the one with ilm is best of the creation. Why? Because it is this ilm that will bring him on amal. And the one who performs amal is best of the creation, because amal without ilm is not possible. So ilm, خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَهُ. Thereafter خَشِيَّةً, ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ خَشِيَ رَبَّهُ. Thereafter iman and amal, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ خَيْرُ الْبَرِيَّةِ. And once we become the best of the creation, then my friends, the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will descend. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help descends, Allah says, إِن يَنْصُرْكُمُ اللَّهُ فَلَا غَالِبَ لَكُمْ. If Allah helps you, then nobody can overpower you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا عَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدُ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا اغفر لنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك, يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك. اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها, أنت وليها ومولاها. اللهم أصلح لنا ديننا الذي هو عصمة أمرنا, وأصلح لنا دنيانا التي فيها معاشنا, وأصلح لنا آخرتنا التي إليها معادنا, واجعل الحياة زيادة لنا في كل خير, واجعل الموت راحة لنا من كل شر. اللهم آنس وحشتنا في قبورنا. اللهم ارحمنا بالقرآن العظيم, واجعله لنا إماما ونورا وهدى ورحمة. اللهم ذكرنا منه ما نسينا, وعلمنا منه ما جهلنا, وارزقنا تلاوته آناء الليل وآناء النهار, واجعله لنا حجة يا رب العالمين. اللهم عز الإسلام والمسلمين, اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين, وألف بين قلوبهم وأصلح ذات بينهم, وانصرهم على عدوك وعدوهم. اللهم اجمع كلمتهم على الحق ووحد صفوفهم. اللهم أنقذ إخواننا المسلمين المظلومين في كل مكان. اللهم احفظ الحرمين الشريفين والمسجد الأقصى المبارك, واجعلها اللهم آمنة مطمئنة وسائر بلدان المسلمين. اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا. اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا. اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا. اللهم إنا نسألك حسن الختام والعفو عما سلف وكان. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا ولأساتذتنا ولمشايخنا ولأهلينا ولمن له حق علينا ولمن أوصانا بالدعاء, ولجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات, إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم, وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم, ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ, ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون, وسلام على المرسلين, والحمد لله رب العالمين. وآخر دعوانا.